All right, I want you to take your Bibles tonight and turn to the Old Testament book of Leviticus. One of those easy books to find, first of the Old Testament. The book of Leviticus, teaching us a lot of things about the worship of God in the Old Testament, the sacrifices and the tabernacle and so forth. Beginning in verse number 1, we find that here the scriptures describe a very tragic event for us. For it says, "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put par therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." Our Father, we thank you tonight that we can come and here tonight and worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you tonight, dear Lord, that your presence has already been felt. And Lord, tonight as we go forth in this service, we pray that each thing done will be lift you up and glorify you and draw us closer to you this evening. Forgive us now of our sins and our shortcomings. Make us tonight more what you would have us to be. And for all that you do, may we be thankful through Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. And amen. You know, if you look about our society, the death penalty is reserved for the most serious crimes against society. But we find that here in our text tonight, and we're going to look at a couple other texts this evening, that God struck people dead for what many tonight might seem a very trivial thing. You know, as you read through the scripture, you will find that men oftentimes committed very serious sins. Abraham lied before God. He lied to Pharaoh that Sarah was not his wife. And he did a lot of things, yet he was known as the friend of God. We find, of course, that Moses struck down a man in Egypt and killed him and fled the land as a murderer. You know what David did is he committed adultery with Bathsheba and then tried to conceal his crime with a crime of murder. Peter denied the Lord 3 times on the night before the crucifixion. Very serious offenses, it would seem to me. Yet God tonight used these men in a very mighty way. But we find tonight in our scripture and in a couple of other scriptures we're going to look at that it seems that it might, if at first glance, that God used some trivial offense tonight to bring about a very serious consequence. But you know tonight as you begin to study the scripture, you find that oftentimes what we think is trivial to some is very serious with the Lord. And you don't trifle with God's holy things tonight. And that's one of the problems that we find and we're going to look at in our scriptures this evening is people who trifle with the holy things of God and they wound up tonight being struck dead by the Lord. What a very serious thing that is this evening. And we're going to look this evening in our text. We find 2 sons of Aaron. By the name of Nadab and Abihu. And these two had been consecrated. They had been set apart for the service of the worship of God. Aaron was to be the high priest, and here was his 2 firstborn sons. They'd been consecrated. They'd been sanctified. They'd been, I guess we could say, ordained into the ministry, into the priesthood, to offer worship before God. And yet we find tonight in our scripture, the Bible, says tonight that they were struck dead by the Lord at this very instant of time. You see, these people were set aside to lead Israel in the worship of the Lord. The Bible says here they did a very, very trivial thing to most people. They offered strange fire before the Lord. Now, what is strange fire? What does that mean when the Bible talks about strange fire? Well, if you'll study the scripture, you'll find that there was an altar that was outside where the sacrifice was slain, and then it was burned upon the burnt altar. And we find that the service of God, the coals from that altar, was a fire that was to be offered before the Lord. Yet we find here were 2 sons of Aaron who should have known what they were doing and didn't know what they were doing. And the Bible says they offered strange fire. Literally, it means unauthorized. It means profane. It means that which takes holy things of God and makes it unholy tonight. It was something that God had not commanded. It was something that God tonight had forbidden this evening. You see, it was a type of substituting tonight the holy for the profane. Now, where did they get this fire? I have no idea. And the Scripture doesn't tell us where they got the fire. They could have started it themselves. They could have got it from their mama's cook pot. I don't know. There could have been another fire started there. Wherever they got this fire, I have no idea tonight. But they offered this strange fire, this unauthorized fire, before the Lord. You see, they were promoting a false worship of God. And when we promote a false worship of God, that will give a false impression of God. You think about it tonight. We look around and what is really worshiping the Lord? We're here in God's house tonight. It's been dedicated and set aside and consecrated for the worship of the Lord. And when we come to God's house, we should not only come to sing words of praise unto Him, we should not only come to offer our prayers unto Him and hear tonight the word of the Lord that He gives to us, but literally we ought to come tonight into the very presence of God. That's what real worship is when we come into God's presence tonight and His holiness comes down. That's what happened when things went right in the tabernacle. You see, God had designed the tabernacle. I mean, He had laid out the blueprints so specific. Every little part of the tabernacle was designed not by man, but by God. God even told Moses who the contractor was to build and to use to make all of these things, and nothing, every detail was given by God. And so that when Israel would come to worship, the presence of God would come in a mighty way down into that tabernacle, and they would know they were in the very presence of God. See, tonight when we come to God's house, we ought to come in the very presence of God. Now, I understand when we leave here, the Holy Spirit goes with us, and Jesus lives within us. And we are the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. But you know, when Jesus said that where two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be amongst them, I believe He meant tonight exactly what takes place. When we gather tonight in the name of Jesus, when we are here tonight to be simply in the presence of God and to offer our praise and our thanks unto Him, and just to be grateful for the privilege that God has given to us tonight, that we're able to come into His presence this evening. His presence come down and His glory will surround us. But we're to do it in the right way. You see, God didn't leave anything out. He told them exactly how everything was to be done. Yet we find here were two people that took it upon themselves to offer this strange fire, to promote a false worship of the Lord. I will always give a false impression of God. Many times do we see it today. People are saying, well, you know, it doesn't matter how you worship. Yes, it does. We have to worship according to the Word of God. Because you see, a lot of people tonight are getting a false impression of the Lord. A lot of folks think God's Santa Claus. He just gives out anything you want. A lot of folks think tonight God's some carnal God tonight that allows you to do anything you want to do just as long as you make a profession of faith. And we could go on and on tonight, but there's a lot of false impressions of God being given tonight by people who are promoting the false worship of God. You begin to look at the New Testament church as they begin their worship of the Lord, and you look in Acts chapter 2, and just let me read to you a very couple of verses this evening, and you be very careful to see what it says as this church began to meet together and as they were worshiping the Lord tonight. And the Bible says in verse 41 of Acts chapter 2, then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. You see, tonight they worship God in the right way. What we have to do tonight. We have to worship God in the right way. You see, The real worship of God is initiated by the Spirit of God. Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, you must worship God in the Spirit and in truth. If we really want to worship the Lord tonight, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to initiate that worship. You see, I, in my flesh, really can't worship the Lord. In my flesh, I'm enmity against God. But tonight, the Holy Spirit that lives within me says into my heart tonight, you ought to worship the Lord. Let me initiate a worship of God in your life. And you see, it's tonight in tune with the Scripture of God. You see, tonight, that's what it's all about tonight. When you begin to read the Scripture, read over in the book of Nehemiah, how that when Ezra stood up to read the Word of God, and the people stood, and Ezra read from the Scripture, and the people said, amen, amen. And they stood there, and they worshiped God. You see, tonight, that's what it is tonight. We are worshiping God in the Spirit and in truth. But we have to do it in the right way this evening. You see, the Spirit will never lead you against the truth. Don't let anybody ever fool you about that. The Spirit of God will never lead against the truth. You know, folks say, well, I just follow the Spirit. But He'll never lead you against what God has already written in the Word of God. Never. Never, never, never. Always amazes me. If the Holy Spirit lives in me and He lives in others tonight, He cannot lead us in two different directions. He never leads us against truth. And truth will never lead you against the Spirit. And you think about that. It's all interwound together tonight. You see, we have to have the motive and the message and the outcome. You see, a lot of folks tonight are wanting to substitute man's way and man's word tonight for God's word and God's way. But you know, God considers it a very sinful, serious offense to offer false worship before Him. Many places in the Scripture, but I want to read you this one. It's found in the book of Amos, chapter 5, and verse 21. And sometime if you have a concordance and you'd like to, you maybe take your Bible and go through the Bible and see what God hates. Verse 21 of Amos, chapter 5, God says this, I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not spell your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, while I will not hear the melody of thy vial. God says, I hate, I despise your feast days. I hate your when you come before me worship. I hate your worship. And boy, that's a strange and a strong statement, isn't it? That's how serious it is for the Lord tonight if we don't worship Him in the right way. God says to Israel, I hate it because you're doing it the wrong way. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. And God struck Nadab and Abihu dead tonight because of their strange fire that they offered upon the altar of God. And there's another passage of Scripture that's very interesting tonight, and that's found in the book of 2 Samuel. And in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 6, I believe it is. Begin reading in verse 5. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on corsets and on cymbals. And when they came to the Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzziah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzziah. And he called the name of the place that Peruzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? See, the ark of God had been taken by the Philistines. It had been missing for a period of time. David wanted to bring back the ark to the city of Jerusalem, there to worship God. Oh, what a wonderful thing. And the ark tonight was that place where God's presence kindly dwelt in that ark. You begin to read through the Old Testament and you'll find that God gave very specific instructions. And so David discovered and he decided that this was a good thing. I want to tell you, well, they were having a big time party. That's what it said in verse 5. Boy, I mean, David had sent some folks down. He said, y'all go get the cart and bring it back. We're going to have a great, great, great homecoming when it gets here. Boy, they were having a real time when they were singing, dancing, and playing instruments. Nothing wrong with all of that now. Well, they were having a big time. Then something very, 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 very tragic took place. As this cart holding these oxen, holding this ark of the covenant was being pulled, suddenly, for whatever reason, the oxen stumbled. And Uzzah was walking by it and saw it about to fall to the ground, and he put his hand out just to keep it from falling, and God struck him dead. Well, that seems so trivial, doesn't it? Why in the world would the Lord do that? He was a man that was just trying to be helpful tonight. Seemed like God kindly overreacted to that. Well, if you just read that on its face, but look at what happened. You see, God had given very specific instructions of how the ark was to be moved and who was to move the ark. You read the Old Testament, you'll find that they had rings, golden rings, had been welded down the side of the Ark of the Covenant. They had poles that moved through those rings, and the priests were to tote it upon their shoulders. Human hands were not to touch it. Only the high priest, when they set it down, they could pull the poles out and never be touched. But instead of moving it the way God said move it, David had a new cart built. Probably got the finest oxen you could find. He said, well, we're going to do this in style. Uzzah touched the ark, which was forbidden. You couldn't touch the ark of the covenant. You see, human means is no substitute for God. A lot of people might have faulty service. They think they're serving the Lord, but they're not really serving the Lord. A lot of false preachers out in the world tonight. Jeremiah said the pastors have become brutish. That is, they begin to want to be famous. They begin to want to lift themselves up and glorify themselves and make a name for themselves. You see, when I read this, I think here what was taking place tonight is same thing that we see in our world tonight. We want to substitute convenience for service and sacrifice. You see, we want convenience. We all like convenience, don't we? If you don't like convenience, when you get home, throw away your television remote. I mean, think about it. I remember when we didn't have television. And when we did get one, only got about two channels, and you had an old knob you turned. And on top of that, you had to go outside a lot of times and turn the antenna and get the other station. Remember that? I bet Bruce put a few of them in. And you stand outside, we stand outside, and somebody said, just a little bit more, that's too much. We finally got one real convenient. It had one of them knobs, you could turn it, and it had a motor on it. But you still had to go change the channel manually. Now we get 150 channels. And don't even have to get out of the reclining chair, boy. We like convenience. I mean, I'm going to be fair with you. I like it, too. I'm not throwing my remote away. Yeah, I like sitting in that reclining chair. But we like convenience. problem is with the Lord, it's still the same today. And we cannot substitute our convenience for service and sacrifice. Remember what Jesus said in John, after he got through feeding all of those, and later on he said, You're not following me because I fed you. You're not following me because of the miracle. You're not following me because you want to hear God's word. You're not following me because you want to be my disciple. You're following me because you like the meal that I served you. You like the convenience that I gave to you. Over in the book of Kings, you'll find a story of a man by the name of Jeroboam. Jeroboam became the king of what's called the northern kingdom of Israel. The two tribes of Benjamin and Judah stayed in the north, in the south, and the other 10 tribes that followed Rehoboam after the death of Solomon into the north and became a kingdom. And Jeroboam set up a system of worship, made two golden calves and set them at Bethel and Dan, because he said, you don't have to go to Jerusalem. That's too far for you to travel. It's not convenient for you to go there. And he instituted priests who were not of the tribe of Levi because they stayed in the southern kingdom. And then he set up a false system of worship. And you see, today, that's what we do a lot of times. We want to be convenient. We want everything to be convenient for people. But sometimes we ought to get back to sacrifice. There's no substitute tonight. For sacrifice, I'll be fair with you. I talked to a gentleman yesterday, and he and I were talking about many different things. And one of the things he said, we always wanted it better for our children, and our daddies wanted it better for their children, and our granddaddies for theirs. And he said, but where does it end? And I got to thinking about that. Where does it end? We want to make it so easy for them that they never have to face any sacrifice. And then when things get rough, they never face it. And when we come to serving the Lord, we have to make some sacrifices. It's not always going to be convenient to serve the Lord. It's not always going to be that we can substitute some way that would make it easier. But we just do it the way the Lord says do it tonight. And quickly, I'll get you the last one. That's found over in the book of Acts, chapter number 5. And I'm sure you know this story very well, about a man and his wife. Oh, Ananias and Sapphira. You know the story. How that people were giving things to God. And they sold a piece of land and they kept back part of the price and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet and said, we sold this piece of property. We're going to give it every bit to the Lord. Come Sunday morning, Peter called him up in front of the congregation. And asked him a question. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thy power? Why, if thou conceive this thing in thy heart, thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God? And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came upon all them that heard these things. I guarantee you that did, didn't it? What happened if I called somebody up in front of the congregation and said, you lied to God, and they died right there? I bet everybody in there would get scared. Amen? Great fear. Not only that, just a little while later, his wife came in. Peter asked her the same question. And he said, well, now you tempted the Spirit of God. And she fell down dead too. Why? What was so awful? I mean, it was their money. They didn't have to give it to the Lord. They didn't have to give a dime. That's what Peter said. But he said, when you give it to God and you lied about it, you lied not to men, but unto God. You see, they wanted to look good in the eyes of men. But tonight, when you look good in the eyes of men, doesn't mean you always look good in the eyes of God. A lot of people join churches for the wrong reason. Probably getting a lot of trouble if I wanted to here. You know, a lot of people join churches for business purposes because certain people in that church they can do business with and promote their business and promote them through the ranks of different things. I knew three men in Tupelo who went into a business together. One of them, they all three joined different Baptist churches so they could get the business from those churches, meet people in those churches. I've heard people say, well, I really don't know about, but they got such a great youth program to preach the gospel. You know, tonight, we need to understand tonight, when we're lying to God, that's a very serious thing to do. And you lie to me, and I don't like it. I'll be fair with you. You wouldn't like it if I lied to you. I might do it unintentionally, but I don't mean to. I don't like anybody to lie to me. I don't like anybody to steal from me. They did both, didn't they? But God is a very serious offense. So like, we better be careful how we speak about the Lord tonight and what we do tonight and how we lift ourselves up tonight. So they were passing themselves off as great servants of God, but lying to His Spirit, that's not a trivial matter. Long ago, I heard a preacher preaching. He was talking about these, and he said, well, I think they were saved. I don't think they were. I'll be as fair with you as I can. Now, you may disagree with me, but that's all right. Because I don't believe you can lie to the Holy Ghost tonight. I believe God struck them dead for lying to the Holy Ghost. When you lie to the Holy Ghost, when you lie to God, you're on dangerous ground. Well, how many people in our congregations across this country tonight are sitting there tonight lying to God? Why are they there? Are they really serving the Lord? You see, tonight we better be careful. Sometimes we think things are very trivial. And God takes the serious things of God very, very seriously. And what we may think to be trivial, you see, God has written this book to give us tonight instructions on how we're to live, how we to serve, how we to be saved, how tonight we're to worship. And when we tonight go against this book, that's a very serious thing before the Lord tonight. We need to be careful tonight how we treat the holy things of God. All right, you'll stand together with me with a brief few Barbara. Come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we're together. We ask you might take this very simple message and use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for it. For all that you do, we want to praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.